ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 श्रीमद् भागवतम कंठ 7 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 2 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। अदृष्ट अश्रुत पूर्वत्वाद मीन्स दिस फॉर्म ऑफ द लॉर्ड हैड नेवर बीन सीन और हर्ड ऑफ बिफोर, सो दैट इवन साक्षात श्री द गॉडेस ऑफ फॉर्च्यून डिड नॉट रिकॉग्नाइज हिम। He stated Sakshat Sri, she is directly the goddess of fortune. Lakshmi Devi has many expansions, but here is directly Lakshmi, the wife of Lord Narayana, and even she wasn't aware of such a form of the Lord, and she experienced great fear also. Fear may be in the form of apprehension rather than great fear. No, that word apprehension, do you have a similar word in Czech?
Is it like...
It means you're not quite sure and you don't have firm... You feel that something might be fearsome here. You're not quite sure what's going on. It's one stage of fear.
Afraid Nrsimha Devi's going to jump in the window?
So even Lakshmi Devi herself, who is directly the wife of Lord Narayan, didn't know what to make of this. You know that idiom, didn't know what to make.
Wasn't sure how to understand.
It means she didn't know how to comprehend this situation. She didn't comprehend the situation, or she didn't have a clear understanding of it. And generally, fear is caused by, or often fear is caused by not knowing, by lack of knowledge. Just like if you come to some in the evening, if you're going on book distribution and you come to some remote, you have to go down a long lane full of old trees and it's just evening time and getting dark and you come to some old building and you look in the window and it's full of cobwebs and you hear some creak, it's like, oh, there might be some ghost in here or something. You don't know, but you feel afraid. The signs look like that. Fear of the unknown with fear that it might be something very bad for me here. Because they'd never seen or heard of a form of the Lord or of anyone which is half man, half lion. And generally lions are very fearsome. And they'd just seen Nrsimhadeva rip Hiranyakashipu and all his soldiers to pieces. And maybe the demigods were thinking, well, maybe us too. That he just happened to see Hiranyakashipu first. So a lion is a lion. He doesn't distinguish. This is a nice man, let him go free. And this is a nasty man, and I'll kill him. So he saw Hiranyakashipu first. He ripped him to pieces. And then all his soldiers came and he ripped them to pieces. He's still angry. Maybe he'll rip us to pieces too. So they weren't quite sure. Pretty sure this is Narayan, who is our well-wisher. But we never saw him like this before. And he seems to have become like an angry lion, so maybe Narayan, but angry lion you better be careful of. The philosophical understanding got a bit clouded over there. Just like if you go into some zoo with the zookeeper and he takes you in the lion cage and he tells you, don't worry, but still you're going to worry. The zookeeper goes in every day and he doesn't feel worried, but someone else may feel worried. I remember as a child I was taken to some zoo and they had these big snakes and then you could pay some money and they'd wrap the snakes all around your body and then you pay some money to have the photograph taken. So they said to me, you want to do? I said, no. He said, oh, the snakes are harmless. I thought, all right, let them be harmless to someone else. Because the natural fear, the very form of a snake is fear-inducing. There's some species of snake which looks and acts like a cobra. If anyone or any creature comes near it to threaten it, it comes up and puts out its hood and hisses like this. It's not a cobra. It doesn't have any poison, but it looks like one and it's enough to frighten others off. So the form of a lion or of a snake is naturally fear-inducing. And even Sakshat Shri was feeling some, like that, apprehension, trepidation, is a, like, not quite sure. Prahlad Maharaj wasn't feeling afraid. That comes out at the end. Everyone else was feeling afraid. He was also in the same situation of not having seen or heard of such a form of the Lord before. We find that before the appearance of Nrisimhadev, it appears that Prahlad Maharaj was worshipping the Supreme Lord as Krishna. The Supreme Lord may be worshipped in any of his forms, as Prabhupada quotes here, Advaitam Achyutam Anadyam Anantarupam. He has, Prabhupada quotes in the purport, he has unlimited forms, which are all non-different, all the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all beginningless and eternal. Devotees tend to focus on one form of the Lord and worship Him in that form, whether as Ram, Narsingha, Varaha, Kurma. It appears that Prahlad Maharaj was focusing on the original form, Krishna. Sometimes people say, well, was there any worship of Krishna? I mean, he's just recent. But Ram came first. But we find that even before the appearance of Ram, Prahlad Maharaj and others were worshipping Krishna. As he told his father, idiots like you never worship Krishna. Matiyana Krishne Paratasvatova. And it stated that Prahlad Maharaj, in his ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, he was Krishna Graha. Graha means a planet which grabs you. In other words, a planet whose influence affects you. This is in the science of astrology. So in the science of astrology, we don't find Krishna as one of the planets. Golok is not one of the grahas. These are all, in astrology, the material planets are recognized. But here the analogy is given that Prahlad Maharaj is Krishna graha. He was his consciousness was completely captivated by Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj, he worshipped Krishna, and he immediately recognized Krishna when he appeared in this adrishta, Ashruta Puravatvat, never previously seen or even heard of form. And he had complete faith that this form, even though in the previous verse mentioned Sangrambha, extremely angry, he is my well-wisher. Because he knew that this is the same Lord who had protected him in so many circumstances, that Prahlad had been subjected to so many situations which were meant to cause his death, but again and again he had been protected. It wasn't simply by good luck. By good luck you might be saved from otherwise certain death. One is driving on the road on a winter's day, icy road, and all of a sudden the car does a gymnastic act in ballerina act in the sky and comes crashing down. And everyone looks and says, well, the funeral company is going to have some more business now. And everyone just gets out of the car and walks out, and everyone's astonished. How could you survive that? Or someone goes to the guillotine and somehow or other it's not working that day. Gets stuck. Doesn't
work. This is a sickness.
So that may happen by good luck, you might say. Although even luck in Sanskritum, the word is daiva, which means not exactly luck, it means that which is ordained by the God, by the Supreme Lord. But again and again and again, Prahlad was saved from circumstances, well, he was saved from attempts to kill him. And he understood this is Krishna protecting him. And he knew that this Nrisimhadev is Krishna because Hiranyakashipu had specifically asked him, is your God within this pillar? And Prahlad said, yes. And when Hiranyakashipu struck that pillar, then Nrisimhadev came out, and then Prahlad understood, oh, that's Krishna. I said he's in there, he's in there. So he came out in this extremely angry form, and Prahlad could understand that he's come to protect me, that he had indirectly protected me on or not indirectly, but by not by his personal presence, but by his arrangement, he had protected me on so many occasions. Now he's personally come to protect me. So this anger is not meant to destroy me, it is meant to protect me. Of course, anger is very dangerous. It's someone who is... when one is angry, then one... Often angry people do things that they just lose all their intelligence. Sammo hat smithi vibramaha. One forgets everything due to anger. And sometimes someone who is angry, they love their wife as much as anyone can love them in the material existence, but in anger they may just kill them, because then afterwards they regret it. So, but even then Prahlad, he didn't think, well, Nrsingadev might kill me also, because anyway, he protected me so many times. And, yeah. So if he wants, he can kill me. If he wants, he can protect me. It's up to him. That is the attitude of a devotee. Maro bi rakho bi jo iccha toha. That is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Nityadasa pratitua adhika. That you can protect me or kill me as you like. That's up to you. That's your prerogative. It's easy to sing these songs, but it may not be so easy to have such an attitude. But Prahlad Maharaj, he's a completely surrendered soul. Not that Lakshmi Devi isn't, but to magnify the special closeness of Prahlad to Nrsimhadev in this leela. Even Lakshmi appears to be afraid of Nrsimhadev on his appearance. Now, Prahlad had full faith in Nrsimhadev. And because of this full faith, Nrsimhadev appeared for him. Whereas Hiranyakashipu, who did not have full faith, was destroyed by Nrsimhadev. So the form of Nrsimhadev is very dangerous for the non-devotees, or specifically those who are envious of the devotees. But he will, in all circumstances, protect those who are fully surrendered to him. Now, the Adrishta Ashruta Purvatvad suggests that such a form of the Lord was not only not heard of or not seen before, but is not even imaginable. There are various, what are called, mythological figures in history, like the unicorn.
Unicorn.
Do you have that in Czech?
Huh? Or the griffin, you know that one?
What else? Has the body of a horse and the head of a lion?
I think so, I'm not quite sure. Maybe you have your own Czech ones.
Well, yeah, slightly
dragons.
Different.
What about dragons? So,
that we have.
Such. Well, they call them mythical, but personally, I think they probably existed at some time. Otherwise, why is there such a widespread, what they call folklore about it? Probably exists somewhere even now, but anyway, that's not really our subject. That's for the more one for the New Ages or something like that. But no one had imagined the form of Nrsimhadev. There can be God like this. People have different ideas about God. There's a widespread misconception. Widespread means all over the world. People think that, well, God can be just like you want him or her or it to be. Sometimes prestigious magazines, which are supposed to be for intellectually minded people, they do surveys of what do you think God is like, thus revealing their foolishness of being subject to the misconception that God is subject to our opinion. Well, I think God is like this. Okay, well, for you, God is like that. God is unlimited, so he can be any way you want him to be. Today, I think God is like this, and tomorrow, I think God is like that, so God has to change. It's based on this impersonalistic misconception that God is everything, and therefore can be approached in any way, and you can see God in... God is in everything, and you can see everything that as you like as God, which is not... incorrect if we have knowledge of the specific original form of the Lord. Then, if we are advanced in understanding Krishna, then we can certainly see Krishna everywhere and in everything. But without reference to the original form of the personality of Godhead, if we simply imagine anything and everything to be God, that is offensive to Krishna, because we adjudge that which is material and certainly not God to be God.
Good translator. I hope so. Translate all of this.
So, but that is a misconception, that just you can see any object and put a sticker on it, God. And then when you don't like, you can take the sticker off and put it on something else. So the demigods, they didn't make that mistake. They know the form or the forms of the Lord, but they had not heard of or seen of or imagined such a form as this. And even Lakshmi Devi, who is his wife, hadn't seen or heard or imagined of such a form. So how is that possible? Because she's his eternal associate. What's the answer? Prabhupada already gave it in the purport. Because he never appeared in that form before. Well, not recently, but Lakshmi is the eternal wife of the Supreme Lord. And even though he may not have appeared in this kalpa, in this form, Narasimha Dev is eternal, so you'd think that she'd have some knowledge of him. He is eternal, and though he hadn't appeared in this kalpa, in this form, she's also eternal, and she's also has full knowledge of him. It's not that Narasimha Dev, or Lord Narayan, suddenly took this form of Narasimha Dev. That form is eternal. Someone else has an answer here? Yeah, he got it. Here it states in the purport. The goddess of fortune, being inspired by Leela Shakti, could not appreciate this unprecedented form of the Lord. So this Leela Shakti is very important. Without it, there's no Leela. Because it makes even the old Leelas always seem new and fresh. And actually they are always new and fresh. And that Leela Shakti works, even just like, I'll give an example. We read or hear or see the drama of Ram Leela again and again and again. Each time it seems fresh. Each time, for instance, when Lakshman is knocked down on the battlefield, it looks like he's about to die, and we all become afraid. Oh, Lakshman's going to die. Well, you know he's not, because you've already been through the story so many times, but still that fear is there. Oh, now it's a very serious situation. Usually you read a novel and then just throw it away. You know, they made paperback book, especially made so you can read it once, and it's very cheap paper, and throw it away. Because once you know the story, then there's no fun in reading it anymore. You know what's going to happen. But with Krishna Leela, Ram Leela, it's not like that. Leela Shakti works to make it always fresh. So Lakshmi Devi herself couldn't fathom what was going on here with it. What is this unprecedented form of the Lord? And it is difficult to see. I mean, you wouldn't normally think of God being like that, would you? People outside of Hindu tradition or Vedic tradition, they find it difficult to accept Krishna as being God. What to speak of Narasimha Dev? Krishna is very kind. But so that fits in, but that he's a young boy, that doesn't fit in, because they think he should be an old man and lots of big muscles and have a bunch of, you know, big heavy guys around him. Like, you know, he's all powerful, so he should look like some big, you know, gang leader or something like that. Something like Stalin, but good. Supreme dictator. And very old, because he was the original person, he got so old and got a big long beard. And then even in the Western countries, they realize this is ridiculous. So this concept of God is ridiculous. So they converted him into a non-person. But even Lord Brahma had difficulty in considering that God is someone who's running around chasing after some cows with a stick. So if you have difficulty comprehending Krishna as the Supreme Lord, then what to speak of Narasimha Dev? Some extraordinarily angry lion-like form, who's half man, half lion. So this is a great test for our devotees. That mid-1970s, there was a big painting of Narasimha Dev, famous painting, ripping Hiranyakashipu to pieces. That was put. We have this big temple in London, Bhaktivedanta Manor. The temple room must be about this size, I guess. And that, if you hypothesize that the altar is here, and the picture of Narasimha Dev was put right there at the front. There's so many pictures, but right at the front of the temple, on the side.
Big picture.
And some of our devotees are saying, well, what are we going to say to people when they ask us about this? Yeah. A lot of people coming there are Indians, but what about the non-Indians? What are we going to tell them? And some devotees thought, well, we shouldn't keep the picture there. Let's put it somewhere else where the outside people don't go. And actually because they're afraid, well, what will the people think? We say, well, this is actually God. This who you're worshipping is God? It's your idea of God? And actually this question came up in a court case in the early 1980s in America. There was an anti-cult case. Said that some young person had been taken from their home by some kind of brainwashing techniques and was now worshipping, and they brought out as evidence in the court, this is a picture, this is what they call God. And they showed the picture of Nrisimhadev ripping Hiranyakashipu to pieces. Which to the prosecution attorney seem to be like irrefutable evidence that these people are crazy and dangerous. What do you say if someone comes up on the street and says, God? So here's a picture and in your book, God, you think this is God? I remember once in Dublin I was distributing books and we were distributing Sri Ishopanishad, which as you remember has the picture of Lord Narayan on the cover, with hoods of snakes all around him. Snakes. The priest came and said, snakes. This is Satan. Now, in a court case that had come up in about 1976, it was the first brainwashing case against, so-called brainwashing case against devotees in America. The devotees came from America to see Prabhupada in India and said, what are we going to do? What are we going to say? They're accusing us. And Prabhupada said, well, this is very good. This is a good opportunity to preach. Now we're in the public attention. So he said that you should say to the judge and all the attorneys that if you want to judge our movement, first of all, you have to know it's what we stand for. So you should understand our philosophy. So first of all, you read all of the books by Srila Prabhupada, then we'll proceed with the case. That was Prabhupada, what he told they should do. This is our defense case. One set of Prabhupada's books. You have to read them. So when a few years after Prabhupada's disappearance, a similar case came up and they said, look, your worship, this lion ripping a human being to pieces and they're worshipping as God. Maybe that's their philosophy, that we should go around and rip people to pieces. Around that time they had this Charles Manson. He was some crazy guy who, ripped people up and put their wrote things on the wall in their blood, and some cult leader. And he used to chant Hare Krishna also. It was pretty dangerous. So it was a great opportunity. It was a great challenge that this came up in the court. You're worshipping this lion-like form as God. It was actually a great opportunity for preaching. But unfortunately, the devotee who was overseeing the court case advised that, well, we should just say that it's symbolic. The form of Nrisimhadev is just symbolic. In this way, he denied to uphold the Bhagavatva, the godness of God. He became a Mayavadi, that the form of God is simply a symbol of God, it's not God himself. And the devotee failed to be protected by Nrisimhadev, and he fell down from devotional service quite soon after that. So it's a great challenge. The demigods, they recognize the Supreme Lord, they recognize Narayan as the Supreme Lord, but when he came in this form, they were a little doubtful. But Prahlad had no doubt, therefore he's glorified as Bhakta Pravar Sri Prahlad Maharaj, the greatest of the devotees. Only he was able to approach the Lord in his angry form. Generally, in India, those who are worshippers of Nrisimhadev don't worship him as Ugra Nrisimha, not in this angry form. There are many ancient temples of Nrisimhadev throughout India, especially in South India, especially in Andhra Pradesh, but we also find in Navadvip Dham, Lord Nrisimhadev himself came there. And in other parts of India also, even in Nepal, throughout, he is being worshipped. Not as common as the worship of Lakshmi Narayana or Radha Krishna or Sita Ram, but it's a prominent form of the Lord being worshipped. But you won't find commonly worshipped Ugra Nrisimha in this angry form. Mostly you'll find Lakshmi Nrisimha or Yoga Nrisimha in a peaceful form. That's why I sometimes think it's a little strange where after singing this Namaste Narasimhaya and then Tavakara Kamala, and then we sing Jaya Lakshmi Nrisimha, because she's not really with this form of the Lord. She remains a little distant. With him in this particular mood of ripping Hiranyakashipu to pieces. Wow. Yeah, to sing Jai Lakshmi Nrisimha, that is fitting with the Namaste Narasimhaya verse, which is from Nrisimha Purana, but then the Tavakara Kamala bit, which is from Gita Govinda of Jayadev Goswami, he's specifically describing how he is ripping Hiranyakashipu to pieces. So it certainly requires great qualification to worship the Lord in that form. Prahlad Maharaj prays to Nrisimhadev in that form. Om namo bhagavate narasimhaya namaste tejas tejase avibhava vajranaka vajradangsha kamashayan randhaya randhaya tamograsagrasa om swaha. O Lord, with your fearsome teeth and your fearsome nails, please get into my heart and rip apart all my material desires. Who will dare to worship the form of the Lord in such a form or in such a mood? Therefore, it's said that to worship this form of the Lord, one has to be, one cannot worship this form of the Lord for any material desires. One shouldn't be a grihastha who has to approach the Lord for some material purpose. When the managers or leaders at ISKCON Mayapur, they desired to request Ugra Nrisimhadev to appear there, the devotee went to South India to the Stapati, or those who reveal such forms of the Lord. And the Stapati refused to do so. I'm not going to carve Ugra Nrisimhadev. Cannot dare to attempt to reveal such a form. It's very dangerous right from the very beginning, even from the carving part. And he said, who is there to worship this form of the Lord? One of our god brothers who left ISKCON and joined the Gauriya Math, he makes a similar objection that, how can you in ISKCON dare to worship this form of the Lord? It's very presumptuous of you to do so. Presumptuous
word?
Means that you think, you presume yourself to have a greater qualification than you actually do. The demigods, they didn't approach Ugra Nrisimha. Lakshmi Devi herself didn't. So you're presuming yourself to be on the same level as Prahlad Maharaj. This is his objection. And it appears to be, from the philosophical point of view, seems to be quite a valid objection. The Stapati had the similar objection, and he refused. I'm not going to do it. But after some time, he called the devotees and said that without my even consulting him about this, my guru told me one day that for ISKCON you can do. His guru was the famous, most prominent Mayavadi sannyasi of the modern times, Chandrasekhar Endran of Kanchipuram. It means he's a traditional Mayavadi, not one of these modern pop Mayavadis, but really, I mean, he was respected as a saintly person. He was very austere, and very learned in Shastra, very saintly in his behavior. Still, he's a Mayavadi, but maybe the best of them. So, anyway, like I was saying, it's not really a matter of carving the deity as revealing him. It's not that you just, you know, you find a piece of stone or wood somewhere and then you just carve it and that's it. But the Lord is already there in a specific piece of wood or stone. So after some time, the devotee came back to South India and said, well, how is the work progressing? You're making good progress carving the deity. He said, what are you talking about? I haven't even started yet. He said, why not? He said, you don't understand. You just don't pick up a piece of stone yet. But the Lord has to reveal himself. Then we'll begin. You have to find exactly the right kind of stone, which is mentioned in Shastra. It has to have all the right characteristics. And then you can understand that this is the Lord waiting to be revealed by the service of the Stapati. So anyway, it's a big long story, but eventually Ugra Narsimhadev came to Mayapur, and the formalities of installing him were going on, although he already revealed that I'm here, I am this form, before the installation began. And it's true that it requires tremendous qualification to worship such an angry form of the Lord. But the wonderful thing about it is that he's only angry towards the demons, but he's very kind-hearted towards his devotees. And particularly this form of Narsimhadev is always revealing to his devotees that, don't be afraid of me, I'm your well-wisher. And in just a very short time, how long is it, 15 years since he came there, Narsimhadev, to Mayapur? Something like that. Yeah, so something like that. It's 18 years. So he's again and again revealed himself in what people might call mystical incidents as the very kind well-wisher of his devotees. There are so many stories which you can, if you want, you can ascribe to the sentimentalism or the imagination of the devotees, or you can accept this is Narsimhadev manifesting himself. So although our godbrother's objection is, we could say it's correct from the philosophical point of view, it appears that Narsimhadev is very happy to be worshipped there, and he is accepting the worship of his devotees. He's having a competition with the Panchatattva and Radha Madhav, who will be the most merciful. Sometimes devotees, they have competition. Deities, they have competition among themselves. Sometimes disagreements also. That's why Sakshi Gopal used to be worshipped at Puri, but now he's gone a little distance because he had a fight with Jagannath. So the non-devotees, they don't believe all these things. And they get ripped up. And devotees get Shrinkadev's hand on their head. Very nice. But we have to have faith that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So don't step back if people challenge that, oh, you worship some little blue boy as God? How can you? No, it's symbolic. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't deny the personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment?
These stones and woods meant for to be carved into deities, are they to be found only in India, or is it possible to find them in the West also?
Is God only in India? Is it possible that Krishna consciousness can be preached outside of India? Of course not! That's what they used to think. Anything else? Do we have another mic? A cordless mic?
Well,
no? You don't have a cordless mic?
Well, is it... What is more important for us to realize Krishna in his original form, or to realize our real spiritual form? Because without that, we cannot understand him in his spiritual form.
Well, the two things go on side by side. We cannot properly understand who we are without understanding Krishna, because that is our eternal position as servants of Krishna. And we can't understand Krishna unless we understand what is who we are as spiritual beings. Otherwise, we'll misunderstand. If we still think that we are material beings and we try to understand Krishna, then we'll ascribe material qualities also to Krishna. So the two things go on side by side. In general, first we understand the beginning of spiritual knowledge is to understand the difference between spirit and matter, that the spirit soul is different from the body. So that is the beginning. But to understand that fully and properly, we have to go beyond simply the knowledge of difference of the soul and the body to understand the spiritual activities of the soul, which means that we have to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead also. Prabhupada sometimes said that we could we could get some idea about the nature of God by studying the nature of the individual soul, because they have many similar characteristics. Just as the individual soul has activities, likes, dislikes, friends, and so on.
Stejně
so
jako
senses, so the Supreme Lord also has. Anything else?
Did Narsingadev accept his form on the basis of these blessings that were given by Lord Brahma to Hiranyakashipu?
Nice, interesting question. It would appear like that, but no, the form of Narsingadev is eternal. Sometimes it appears, it might appear that Krishna's activities are impelled by some material circumstance, but they're not. Rather, Lord Brahma being, and Hiranyakashipu also, being impelled by the Leela Shakti of the Lord, acted in such a way to facilitate the appearance of this wonderful form of Lord Narsimhadev. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Gandhari cursed Krishna. She said that this Holocaust is your fault. And that, so she cursed him. She was very powerful. She cursed that just as all our family died by intense and infighting, so yours will also. Now, Gandhari is very powerful, but she's not powerful enough to curse the Supreme Lord. But Krishna accepted that curse, and it might appear that his whole family did die in the same way. So that may appear to be, the curse of Gandhari may appear to be the cause of the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. But actually it was impelled by the Leela Shakti of the Lord, and he had some purpose in doing so, in arranging that. Yeah. Oh, okay, so we'll finish. Isn't there another question then?
There's one, I guess there.
Who has?
When it is described that Krishna is present in everyone's heart, does it mean the heart of this physical body, and is he present there in his original form?
We find in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshe juna tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated, hriddesh, the region of the heart. You can open up the heart and cut it up and you won't find Paramatma. Or you can transfer one person's heart to someone else's heart cavity. So it may not be like within the blood and the arteries and all this kind of thing.
Takže to není
present. We have a little difficulty understanding this because we don't understand what spiritual presence is. And we think if the Supreme Lord is present in a place, that means he must be in some particular definable point that you can measure how he's situated from here to here. He's in between molecule number so-and-so and this molecule number so-and-so. He's squeezed in somewhere there, or he's within the atom between this electron and that electron. Not exactly like that. His spiritual presence is not materially ascertainable. This question, yeah.
And then another point that it is described that we are all in Krishna, but Krishna is not in us. Uh-huh. So it sounds like contradiction.
Yes, it does sound like a contradiction. And that's probably why Krishna stated those two facts side by side. It just underscores the point that Krishna cannot be understood by material intelligence. He's bigger than the biggest and simultaneously smaller than the smallest, which is not possible according to the laws of physics. He's beyond the laws of physics. That's the whole point. He's beyond our material imagination. Time's up. It's not something to be understood by the material intelligence. Shall I finish here? And then I'm having the... you have a little more time? Okay. All right. I have this... I have another session at 10:30 or something. So, any questions we can discuss in more detail at that time. We'll discuss this in more detail. We're getting way off the subject of the class here. I think we should... I can have a questions and answers session later, and then we'll discuss questions which are not related to the class. Otherwise, there's no end.
So,
if there's more time... 10:30, please come at that time.
Just
one more thing I wanted to say. This is more for my convenience, because already several devotees asked me about the status of my book on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So instead of saying 50 times, I'll say once now. Well, I put time aside to finish it this summer. The summer's finished in India now. But Some other work came up unexpectedly, so it's almost finished. There's no more writing to do, just some fine-tuning on the editing, which is required. But now I'm traveling in the West, starting from yesterday, and I don't know when I'm going to get the time to do it. I have to squeeze it in here and there whenever I get some moments to do it. So that's the status. So when I get back to India, sometime after I get back to India, I'll be busy then also. Then I'll try and find some time, and I only need 3 or 4 days to finish it. I don't know when I'm going to get the time. Then it'll be ready. But then it will require laying out and proofreading and indexing, so maybe it'll be ready by Gaurpurnima. It would have been if I'd have left India with my work done, but I didn't, so that's it. Anyway, I can say it's a wonderful book. I can say so because I'm only an instrument in writing it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, I have books here also. I think most of the people coming here have seen my books. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu book came to check last year or not? I have a new book on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It came, all right. So, I don't have any new books. Hare Krishna. Anyway, for those who understand English and don't know, I'm writing some books on the order of Srila Prabhupada and trying to distribute them also. Okay. They're available outside. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada.